Money, Riches, and Wealth is sponsored by the Financial Consulate.
Say you don't need no diamond rings, and I'll be satisfied. Tell me that you want the kind of things the money just can't buy. I don't care too much for money. Money can buy me love.
This is Talk Radio 680 WCBN. Time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
This is Drew Tignanelli here, Money, Riches, and Wealth. Co-host, Jackson Courtney. Jackson, how you doing, man?
I'm doing great, Drew. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's good to have you. We're here on an open show tonight, Jackson. That means our listeners are our guests again, and they get to call in and ask their questions, and we'll be here to answer them for them, because as long as they keep calling in and asking questions, we're going to keep doing open shows. If they stop calling in, we might then bring in permanent guests, you know, or we'll just bring in somebody and talk to them about what we think's interesting. But I really prefer to answer the listeners' questions. And if you want to call in and direct that conversation, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680.
Yeah, Drew, I just want to remind our listeners that we do have additional videos and webinars online. If you go to financialconsulate.com, you can go to the Knowledge Center. You can watch our webinars, and there's some great informational videos, educational videos on there.
And if you also miss Money, Riches, and Wealth radio show, you can listen to it as a podcast on our site a week or so later.
Right? Absolutely. And if you hear something and, you know, you're not too sure about it, you want to go back and listen to it, that's a great way to, you know, listen to it on your own time.
Yeah, so the Financial Consulate website is the way to go to that Knowledge Center and listen to those things or watch some new videos that we've done or articles that we've written and so forth. So anyway, if you want to call in and ask your question tonight, 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask that question. 410-922-6680. And anything that deals with your personal finances, we're here to answer it. Now, Jackson, while we wait for people to call in, and so you don't have a chat thing, so you're going to have to give me a fingers, thumbs up or something if you have somebody call in. But I saw an advertisement for an annuity, and it intrigued me, and I figured I'd go take it down and see what they were actually saying. And the amazing thing of this advertisement is how ridiculously deceptive this thing was. And how you could see how easily it could lure people in to make a decision on something that isn't even remotely true. 9.3% annual return. Now, here are the words they use. Now, to you and me, that means a lot. Annual return. They don't say annual rate of return. They don't say that you're going to get this percentage interest rate on your money invested.
Right.
They just say 9.3% annual return. What do they mean? What are they returning? Well, the answer is they're returning your principal.
They're returning your own money back to you.
They're giving you your own money back. Then they say 40% more guaranteed lifetime income purchase. Well, what the heck does that mean? 40% more than what? You know, what are you comparing it to? And then a bonus up to 17%. Now, think about this, Jackson. You give an insurance company $100,000. They pay a life insurance agent a commission of 10%, let's say.
Right.
And then they're going to give you a 17% bonus. I mean, you know, were you born yesterday? Do you really think that they're going to give you a 17% bonus? Well, yes, it's going to look like it, but guess what? You're not going to secure that bonus for something like 17 years, and you know what they're going to do with that 17% bonus? They're going to rake it out of your hide for 17 years while they, you know, make the money to give you your quote-unquote 17% bonus.
Right.
I mean, it's just unbelievable. 100% protection of principal. There's no truth to that. It's 100% protection of principal by what? You know, is it the insurance company that's protecting you? And how? And then they say A-plus top-rated insurance companies. Well, are they using AM Best rating? You know, AM Best had companies that were rated A-plus-plus that went under a month later after they were rated A-plus-plus. You know, S&P had companies that were rated AAA and they went under. I mean, you know, you don't have to go back far to see where S&P has made some blunders in those ratings, too. So,
and I'm going to guess there's surrender charges in there, too.
Oh, yeah, there's definitely going to be surrender. And, you know, the interesting thing is that if you try to get out after 2 or 3 years, you say, you know, this thing really wasn't anything that they told me it was going to be, and I don't want to be in this anymore, then, you know, what happens is, the insurance company is going to retract the bonus, retract all the commissions that they paid out of your money, and you're going to end up with a lot less money when you're finished anyway.
That's right.
Don't fall for the baloney that these insurance annuity salespeople are touting. You can now get these annuities without any commissions. There are plenty of places out there now that you can get it. Vanguard, Schwab, Fidelity. There's a platform called DPL Solutions you can get it at. And they do these fully without commissions, without the phony baloney of the bonuses and so forth. Anyway, we're on an open show,
yep.
Jackson.
We got one caller. We're going to take a break, but we'll be back.
All right. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBL.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth. I'm here with Jackson Courtney. We're on an open show. Open show means our listeners are guests. I believe there's only one person online, right, Jackson?
Looks like we got two, but we're going to go to our first listener here, Seal in Baltimore County.
All right. Seal?
Good evening.
Hey, how are you doing?
Fairly well. I have a question about a trust fund.
Okay.
I'm an only child of 76, and my daughter's an only child of 50. And my parents left a trust fund.
Okay.
The attorney tells me, because I want to do some things with it, not spend it, I want to do other things with it. And the attorney told me that my best thing to do at this point, since it's, you know, just our money, nobody else, that I can go ahead and I should take it out of the trust and put all the assets in POD, my name, POD, her name, my daughter. Is that true?
Well, it depends. Approximately, what are we talking about? 100, 200, a million, 5 million?
800,000.
800, okay.
Yeah, plus,
so,
plus land that's got a potential 100 and a half, 200.
Okay, so we could be upwards of $1 million, all right?
Okay.
And you're the trustee, right?
Yeah, and my daughter after me when I die.
But you're the primary trustee beneficiary, right?
Yes, sir.
And your daughter is the next, and does your daughter have children also?
No, my daughter's not married. She hasn't had any children.
Okay, and you're not married, right?
I'm a widow. I'm 76.
You're 76 and you're a widow. Okay. And, does your daughter, what kind of profession is she in?
She isn't in a profession. She has health issues.
Okay. And do either of you go around punching people very often?
Punching people?
Well, it's a joke. What I'm looking for is there any reason to believe that you would have liability risk, that somebody would potentially be willing to sue you because you do something that could create liability risk? Like you go around punching people, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean. No.
So you guys are relatively risk-free in that you don't have careers that could create liability.
Oh, no.
I would probably agree wholeheartedly with the attorney that... The one thing you do have to be worried about, and I don't know that your trust would protect you on this anyway,
is
long-term care.
Okay, so, well, I'm military till I die, and you know you can go to, the military has homes that you go to there because of my husband, so.
Now, you were in the military
I'm a dependent, and so is my daughter, of the military until we die, even though my husband's deceased.
In a war zone?
Yes, he was in Vietnam.
He was in Vietnam. Okay, well, then that absolutely gives you that ability and so forth. So
there's extra things I can depend on without depending on that money.
Well, then, you know, you've covered all my bases that I'd be concerned about, so I wouldn't have any problem with it. You know, if I were your advisor, I'd say, yeah, go for it. The lawyer's in agreement. I'm in agreement. Let's go for it.
Okay, last question. In one of your programs, you said, I thought, that your base price to have you look at everything is $5,000. Did I misunderstand that?
Our yearly minimum fee to be the advisor of a client is $5,000 a year.
Oh, okay. $5,000 a year. Okay. All right.
Yeah, but you know what you're looking for is you're looking for us to make you more than $5,000 a year in all the advice we give, in our tax advice, in all the advice we give. Are we making $5,000 or more a year for you? That's what you have to be asking yourself, not, geez, $5,000 is a lot of money, you know?
Uh-huh.
All right?
I see. Yes. Well, see, I'm not astute in that, so I'd have to really research it before I even knew what I was talking about.
Yeah, well, you know, if we can help you just lower your taxes on that kind of money, you probably will save fewer thousand dollars a year. If we can give you good estate advice, you'd probably save a few thousand dollars a year. If we give you good insurance advice, you know, we don't sell that stuff. We just help you get the best for your personal finances. All right?
Yes, sir. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. Next, we're going to go to Gene in Columbia.
I'm my man, Gene.
How you doing, Gene?
Can't proceed my Wednesday without calling my Andrew here. One question, and then another one is kind of a dumb question. The first one had to do with your topic of annuities. Are there any federal tax advantages of getting into an annuity of any kind?
Well, the tax advantage the insurance agents will always talk about is deferral of income. So you buy an annuity and you defer income into the future. But what I like to tell people about is, yes, that can be beneficial occasionally, but it also can be a ticking tax time bomb, you know, where, you know, you got people who are deferring all this income in annuity, and the next thing you know, die, and, you know, the children inherit the thing, and now they have to figure out how to deal with all this taxation that's going to come roaring out of this thing over the next few years.
The money that goes into an annuity is not taxable, just the income, non-taxable, it's just the income it creates.
The growth of the portfolio. And there is one other tax advantage to some annuities. Some annuities have a long-term care benefit that you can withdraw from it tax-free. So you can have an additional long-term care benefit from certain annuities too. And usually we find, though, that the best people that's for is somebody that already has an existing annuity that's a bit of a clunker. And you take that and do a 1035 exchange into an annuity that has these long-term care benefits in them, and then we turn little sort of lemons into lemonade to some degree.
All right, my second question, and many people are going to laugh and really think I'm an idiot, but I've never heard this asked. Usually you have to go to a financial institution to get a credit card, a Visa, a MasterCard. you need simply go to Visa or MasterCard directly and get a card?
No.
Okay.
No. Because, you see, Visa and MasterCard were created, you know, sort of under the umbrella of the insurance company, I mean, of the banking institutions. And then they branched out into these affiliation clubs and so forth. But I know of no way that MasterCard and Visa do anything other than through banks and through banks, basically.
Don't they have their own stock?
They do. The Visa and MasterCard are traded on the New York Stock Exchange. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So,
All right.
All right, buddy. Take care. But, you know, that's a great question that he's asking.
Yeah.
There are some interesting techniques that are coming that are or concepts that are coming, like what's thing called FedNow. FedNow is kind of where you can do an automatic payment to somebody of any quantity without any fees directly through the Fed. You might see when that really becomes available, you might see quote-unquote credit card companies that are direct to the credit card company without the bank and Visa and MasterCard. But that could be 2-3 years down the road before you ever see
it. And with the central bank digital currency, you know.
Digital currency could change the whole world of, you know, how you pay for things, you know, and so forth. But, you know, people are still going to prefer to have that, cash back. They're going to still prefer to have the ability to borrow the money, even if it's at a ridiculously high interest rate. You know, so they may not attract that much either. So it's going to be interesting. The world is changing before us.
And, Drew, one last point on the annuities. The income, it's not taxed as capital gain, even though it is interest on the account. It's taxed as ordinary income, correct?
Yeah, you could have a mutual fund in there, Jackson, that's going gangbusters with capital gains. But when the money comes out, it's all taxed as ordinary income, period. It's never the even if you had municipal bonds in an annuity and it was creating tax-free supposed income, when it comes out of the annuity, it's still taxable. It's just like an IRA.
Right.
No matter how you create money inside an IRA, a traditional IRA, when it comes out, it's coming out taxable as ordinary income.
Right.
Not capital gains, not municipal bonds, da-da-da-da-da. You get no tax advantage to it. We're on an open show, Jackson.
Yep.
We're almost out of time in this hour. Hopefully, line's open, Jackson.
Yeah, we have two callers on the line. And
well, they're going to have to hold for us for this one because we're on a hard break at 6:29. Hopefully, they will. We'd love to answer their question. If you want to get online with the plenty of lines still open, 410-922-6680, 410-922-6680. And when we come back, Jackson, we'll talk more about the book, The Financial Physical. Let people know where they can get that.
More of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBN.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show here with Jackson Courtney. 410-922-6680 is the way to call in and ask that question. Just real quick, I just wanted to let you know the book, The Financial Physical, is now available. It's my life story and about this industry and how this industry needs to change for the better of the public. And I hope you would get it. There's also 30 different instructional lessons at the end throughout the book, 3 at end of each chapter. And so it's not only a great story, it's also a great resource for general financial planning thoughts and ideas. So hopefully you'll get that at Amazon. $5.99 is what I priced it at. I don't want to make any money on it. I just want you to read it, and I want you to get the message that we're trying to communicate. That's why we do this show. Anyway, Jackson, let's do the thing we like doing best and answer our listeners' calls.
Yeah, okay? Sure. We're going to go to Steve in Owings Mills. How you doing, Steve?
Hey, guys. This question is about reestablishing credit after bankruptcy. It's actually my son, and he was in his late 20s. His now ex-wife ran up crazy debts on their joint credit cards. He didn't realize. And also, he had a little business downturn with the pandemic. So he had to declare bankruptcy in the range of about $50,000, $60,000. He's actually very responsible with money. and he needs to reestablish his credit. I'm not worried about him doing ridiculous, stupid things. He just got caught by a couple of bad situations. He's not married anymore. And so that's a good, good thing. The question is, you know, he's getting these credit card offers, you know, $1,000 credit line, 30% interest, you know, $100 a year for you know, to you know, annual fee, $8 a month fees, ridiculous fees, right? I have very good credit, and I trust him. I'm willing to go. Well, I want your suggestions. But I'm willing to go, let's say, if he needed me to back up a credit card, I'd be willing to do that. But I don't know if you think that's a, you know,
That wouldn't be a bad idea, as long as his name is first on the credit card. That's really the key.
Okay, so it would be me as an authorized user with him as the primary? Is that how it would?
He would be the primary applicant. You would be the joint applicant, who will also be a co-guarantor.
Okay, so again, he would be the primary applicant, is that right?
He would be the primary applicant. He needs to be the primary applicant. That's one of the keys that you want to do. You know, any type of loan that he does, he can also do some hypothecated things also, where he, you know, puts up and he gets a little card that doesn't lend him a lot of money, but he has some kind of little guarantee that they can draw on if they need to, and that'll help build the credit back up also. So there's lots of little things you can do. I got to admit that,
so,
you know.
Spit them out. I want to hear them.
Well, I'm saying there's a lot of them, but the thing I was going to spit out is helping people reestablish their credit after bankruptcy isn't my number one wheelhouse, because I don't have to do that very often with a lot of my clients. If I did, I probably wouldn't be here today. but you know, if you go online. And, you know, like, you know, if he gets a credit card and start watching how his credit score is evolving, it gives you all kinds of interesting ideas about how to continue to improve your credit score. So that would be an important thing to do. I wish I could help you more, but like I say, it's not my primary wheelhouse.
Okay. I'm just thinking, because I have good credit with you know, the major banks, and so I'm thinking if I could get a better...
Does he have a car loan?
No. In fact, he's getting all these things, offering sell him car, you know.
Well, if he needed a car and he could get a car loan, that would be a good thing. And, you know, if you help him do that, that would, again, help to reestablish credit and show that he's not accumulating credit, he's paying it down, you know, and so forth. He always has to, if he gets a credit card, he never should leave a balance on it. Just keep paying it off. Month after month after month after month. Okay?
Pay it off to zero every month, right?
Every month. Every month. Absolutely. That's the best way you can establish credit. What's that?
If you think of anything else during the show, throw it out. I'll be listening.
I'll try to think of others, okay?
Thank you.
Thanks, Steve.
All right, Steve. Good question.
All right, next we're going to go to Joe in Westminster. Hey, how you doing, Joe? How can we help you?
Fine. I think this will be easy for you. I have a $1,000 U.S. savings bond, and I'm about to cash, and I guess it's worth about $2,200 or $2,300 right now. Can I ask the bank that I go to for doing that, could I ask them to withhold federal and state taxes for me?
You know, I've never done that, but most banks should be able to withhold taxes, but I've never done it. But I don't necessarily know on that small a sum that you really need to. Why wouldn't you just keep it, and there will be no penalty at the end of the year on that small an amount of money? Why wouldn't you just keep it and give it to them on April 15th? And right now, you should be able to get 4% on your money, right?
I suspect, yes.
Well, I mean, even if it's $1,000, or, you know, even if it's just $400, that's $16 of interest. I mean, you know, heck, I'll take $16 if they wanted to hand it to me.
Yeah, you're saying 4% by through whom? The bank?
You go in. Who do you bank with?
Several. M&T, Wells Fargo, Truist.
Okay, you go into any of those banks, especially Truist, okay?
Yeah.
Go into any of those banks, Truist, and tell them, I'm pulling all my money out of your bank if you don't start paying me interest on my savings account. And all of a sudden, lo and behold, they'll say, well, we do have this one account over here that's paying 4%, but don't let anybody else in the lobby know that we're paying 4% on this account. So anybody out there listening, if you're not going into your bank saying, hey, I've got a savings account, I'm going to pull it all out and put it into an online savings account unless you're willing to give me at least 3.5% or more. And they should give you 4 to 4.5%. And you'll be, lo and behold, the manager will say, oh, by the way, I got an account in the back room here that I don't want anybody else to know about. And all of a sudden, you're going to get 4% on your money. It's amazing.
Okay, I understand.
All right, buddy.
Thank you for the advice.
All right. You take care.
Bye.
And I'm not sure if Joe touched on it, but, you know, the U.S. savings bonds are only federally taxable, right, Drew?
That is correct. You know, well, that's a good point. I should have remembered that myself, is that he doesn't owe state taxes on the cashing in of the interest on that E-bond. He only owes federal taxes. And like I say, if it's only $2,300, I'm not going to worry about withholding.
Right, right.
Yep. Have anybody else online there, Jackson?
Nobody else online, so...
Well, why don't you tell everybody how to contact us?
So you guys can reach us at 410-823-7283 if you'd like to set up a phone call. You know, you're just calling us.
That's us. How about if they want to call in and ask us a question here?
If they
want to
call in and ask us a question, they dial 410-WCBM-680. That's 410-922-6680.
There you go, 410-922-6680 if you want to call and ask a question and direct the conversation tonight. We'd love to talk to you, answer your question. Maybe it has to do with Social Security. Maybe it has to do with Medicare. Maybe it has to do with your 401k, your IRA, or maybe it has to do with estate planning or income taxes or whatever. If it has to do with your personal finances, we're here to answer it. We have lines open. We're down to the last quarter hour of the show. So if you want to call in and ask that question, now's the time to do it. 410-922-6680 and ask that question. 410-922-6680. Be right back. Money, riches, and wealth. This is Drew Tignanelli, and I have a question for you. Is your financial advisor a doctor of personal financial advice? Do you get strategies to reduce taxation, Social Security, Medicare advice, sophisticated retirement planning, investment allocation strategies, estate planning, or help with any issue of money? It is time you do a financial physical with me and my team at the consulate and experience the difference. You hear the depth of knowledge we have about personal finance, so do a financial physical and you'll experience what we believe an advisor should do for you. They should be independent, experienced, credentialed, fee-only, comprehensive fiduciaries. They should be a doctor of personal finance and not salespeople selling you products. Set up an introductory meeting by calling 410-823-SAVE, 410-823-SAVE, or go online, financialphysical.com. That's financialphysical.com. It's time you experience the difference.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
We're back, Money, Riches, and Wealth, and we're on an open show. We got callers online. Just want to remind you that the book, The Financial Physical, is out there. If you want to get it on Amazon, we priced it to sell, $5.99. And I think you'll find that there's a lot of instructional points at the end of each chapter. And it's a great story about this industry and how it operates and why you should be wary of this industry and what they have to offer. And I would guess that 90%, ready for this, Jackson? 90% of our listeners who say they have a financial advisor, if they read this book, they will be shocked at what they really have. Anyway,
right.
It's just my opinion. Anyway,
I agree.
Let's go to our callers.
Okay, we're going to go to Ann in Pikesville first. Hey, Ann, how you doing?
It's Ian, yeah.
Ian, okay, I'm sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's absolutely not your fault at all. A little miscommunication before. I'm asking your expert opinion on annuities. I've got a decent-sized chunk of money, and like everything in life, if you ask too two people, let alone 10 people, about anything, even doctors or whatever, you get 10 different answers, right? Some people, this annuity guy, of course, he was selling annuities, so of course annuities are the greatest thing of all time, telling me all the benefits, this and that, and he's like, the money's guaranteed, and I'm like, I'm a lot smarter than I look. I'm like, no, it's not. I said, the rate may be, these numbers may be guaranteed, but it's not like FDIC. If this, I mean, I'm old enough to go through these financial meltdowns. I've seen some companies disappear. It's not guaranteed. If the company goes belly up, I mean, there goes my money also, right? I mean, it's not a guaranteed financial instrument, correct? Anyway.
Well, the answer to that part, Ian, is that the insurance agent will tell you that the state insurance guarantee fund would take over. And the insurance guarantee fund rarely has enough money to back up a real annuity collapse. So no one should sit back and think that a state insurance guarantee fund, remember, FDIC is backed by the people that print the U.S. dollars. The state insurance guarantee funds are just an accumulation of a little bit of money from the insurance companies doing business in our state. If they run out of money, they don't have an unlimited source of printing presses to get more of it.
Is that capped also per account or per depositor?
There are rules about it, but nobody who's ever studied the insurance guarantee funds of the state should sit back and think that the insurance guarantee funds are a rock-solid guarantee like FDIC.
Right. And
I mean, keep in mind MSSIC, Maryland State Shareholders Insurance Corporation. You know, I told people that back in the 1980s. If you think MSSIC can insure your deposits in Maryland savings and loans, you don't understand finance.
Right, exactly. And that's what turned me off from this guy. He probably had a decent product. He probably was a decent guy. But the way, you know, intent is a lot of it. He tried to make me...
Here's the number one thing to keep in mind, Ian, okay? If you're talking to an insurance agent about an annuity, you need to walk away. You need to go find, if you want an annuity and you want an honest opinion about one, find a no-load annuity. There are tons of them available now without the commissions, and you can get the real story and make your decision if you really feel that annuity is right for you. And there's some positive features to annuities. There's no doubt about it. But you get it when you're given a commission. Forget it.
But your money is at risk, though.
Your money's at risk in annuity. There's no doubt. I mean, is it a significant risk?
Right.
It depends on the insurance company, you know. You pick some insurance companies, I'd say relatively no risk. If you pick others, I'd say, you know, you got a marginal risk, you know. There's no doubt it's at risk. It's not like putting your money in a bank. As I've said many times, I don't care what the bank is. It could be on the verge of bankruptcy as long as I'm insured with FDIC.
Right.
All right? I got to run.
Okay,
I wish I could keep this going, but I got a couple other callers I got to get.
Thanks, Ian. We're going to go to Henry in Baltimore County. Hey, how you doing, Henry?
Hello. How are you today?
Good, Henry.
Good, good. Question about my home I live in. Plan on selling it. Don't really want to fix it up. I've been in it a long time. I don't really feel like I need to invest more in it. I can walk away with whatever I want to walk away with. I have a small mortgage on it. I'm curious to know about the taxation on the house when I do sell it, hypothetically.
Are you single or married?
Married.
Okay. So you take the value you paid for the house plus the money you put into it. So let's say I paid $200,000 for it and I put $100,000 into it. My cost basis is $300,000. I get $500,000 gain exclusion. So, in essence, in my illustration, I could sell a house that I paid $300,000 for, $200,000 plus the $100,000 fix-up, for $800,000 and have no taxation whatsoever.
So it's up to $500,000 is the total taxation.
Of gain, that is correct. But keep in mind, that's the price I paid for it, plus all the expenses of the settlement, plus any improvements, minus all the commissions that I pay and the expenses I pay to sell it. And if that's more than $500,000 gain, I got taxes to pay on the excess.
I gotcha. Well, hypothetically, I've lived there over 30 years. I've put a lot of money in it, over 30 years, this, this, and this. So I bought it for less than 100. I probably got 100 in it. So if I did sell for 300, I'm still okay. I walk away with 100.
You could sell that house for $600,000 or $700,000, and you'll be okay.
I'd be all right. Okay, just curious about my tax situation on that.
But yeah, great question.
No payment.
Yep.
No payments at all for me. I have to pay the government for anything at
nothing.
All.
Nothing. Nothing. Not the state, not the federal, okay?
Perfect.
All right.
All right. Thanks,
Take
Henry.
Care.
All right. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Next, we're going to go to Rebecca. Hey, Rebecca, how are you?
Hi, fine. I hope you can do this in a minute, okay? But anyway, so I called a friend of mine who used to retire from CMS, and she told me that basically when you want to go to, like, sign up for Medicare, you have to, like, now go 6 months. It's not even 3 months, and I'm just wondering, I will do that, but what do they ask me when I get there? Because I don't want to waste anybody's time.
I have no idea what she's talking about. We sign up clients for Medicare, you know, within weeks. I signed up last year myself. I signed up in June and wanted it to start in July, and I had my card in 3 weeks.
Well, if it's going in person, I was going to go in person. So you're saying, like, online?
Just go online, you know, if you want. We'd help you out do that. I mean, if you need help. But, you know, don't waste your time. Don't waste your time going in person. Those people, I'm not sure that they're even working still, you know? I mean, you know, that's probably why it's 6 months. But what kind of ridiculous concept is that making people go, you know, 6 months before they have an appointment? How ridiculous. But
well,
just do it online.
All right. So how much would it charge me to, like, go to you and, like, do this? I'm serious. I mean,
if you just want to get signed up for Medicare, we'll just do it on Zoom, or you go to my office and one of my people will help you sign up for it. It's not going to take more than 10 minutes, you know?
Oh, my God. You're kidding, right? I mean, you're serious. All right, because I don't want to waste your time. But
I'd say it takes about a half hour, and you just need to know, you know, like, your Social Security number, and if you were married and things like that, and your spouse's Social Security number if you were married for more than 10 years, you know, and things like that. That's it. You know, it's pretty straightforward, pretty easy to do.
Oh, you're kidding.
No, it's very easy.
I think you're, like, I mean, you talk about how you want to help people. I think you just helped a huge amount of people.
Well, it's everybody should just go online. Forget dealing with these people at this, you know, because I have no idea what they're thinking about. It's like, you know, everybody else went out and took their lives in their hands to get back to work. But the government workers, they don't seem like, you know, wow, I'm not sure we can do that still, you know. It's the only place on earth that they're still acting like, you know, you can't get together in person anymore.
Thank you very much, Drew, and I hope you stay on the air for, like, another 20 years, okay?
I do, too, but we'll see.
Thank you.
All right, Jackson, do we have any other callers?
Yeah, we're going to go to John in Eastern Shore.
Well, we got to go quickly.
Hey, John.
Quick question, like your show. Roth IRA question on my present plan. When I retire, I won't have to touch my 401, so I want to, I think, advice from you, I'd like to start swapping. And moving it over to Roth year by year, a little bit at a time. Is there a limit to the Roth conversion from a 401 while I'm working?
No. You can do the whole thing anytime you want or as little as you want. The only thing I would strongly suggest, John, is that you do really competent tax analysis before you do it. The whole key to Roth conversion is, what is the tax bracket I'm in today versus what would the expected tax bracket be in the future? That's the key to Roth conversions. Make sure you do your tax analysis thoroughly. Okay?
Very good. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
All right, we got one more caller if we have time, Drew.
I don't think we have time. You're going to have to take them online afterward.
Okay, will
do. And if you can't answer it, you just tell them, get the question, and I'll email them a response, okay?
Okay, sounds good.
I know you can answer it, though.
Hopefully.
Anyway, Jackson, it was great being with you as always, you know, and you'll be back, what, in 3 weeks?
Yeah, I'll be back in 3 or 4 weeks, so.
I'm there next week in person.
Yeah, I know, excited to see you.
In the studio, in person, man, you know, yeah. I'm going to be with Maddie, though, right?
Yeah.
All right. All right, this is Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.